This meeting is now called to order. We have a quorum, so we can get started. I would like to look at the first action item, first item, which is approval of the agenda. Has everyone seen the agenda?
I've seen it, yes.
You have? Okay. Anyone else have seen the agenda?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay, so have I. So everyone seems to have seen the agenda. At this time, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
So motion, this is Eric Curl.
Second.
The motion has been made and seconded that we accept the agenda as printed. All those in favor would say aye.
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 Anyone oppose? The agenda is accepted. We move to the next item of business, which is the action item. The first action item is the minutes itself, the minutes of the meeting of October 21st of this year. Have we all seen it, had a chance to study that, the minutes, those minutes? Anyone discuss the minutes before we vote on it? Any discussion of the minutes?
Motion to approve.
I second the motion.
Good. It's moved and seconded that we accept the minutes. Now we can have a discussion and also vote. Any discussion? Let's go to the vote then. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone oppose? There be no opposition. The minutes are accepted. That finishes the first item, action item for us. The second action item for us is the fiscal year 2022 amendment, fees amendment. Will someone report on that, please?
Mark Wilkes, Core MPO staff. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The proposed amendment to the fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program is to add the US 80 corridor study that was approved for CRISA funding at the previous meetings in October. It was listed as an illustrative project in the work program prior to this. It was proposed by the city of Pooler initially as a corridor study of US 80 just within the city of Pooler. The discussion surrounding funding the study with CRISA funds, which are COVID relief funds that do not require local match. This discussion evolved to the point where the study was supported, but the committees wanted to see more of a regional study. So the boundaries were expanded beyond the town of Pooler. The awarding of the funds to Pooler was endorsed by the TCC and the Core MPO board at the last meetings. And so this amendment is simply to move the US 80 study from the unfunded illustrative section of the work program into the funded section of the work program to facilitate the funding agreement. Steps. So staff is recommending that the advisory committees endorse the amendment to the Core MPO board for approval next week.
Motion to endorse the amendment as written.
Second.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. We could vote on that. Do you want a discussion before we vote on it? No discussion? Let's vote then. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposition to that? Not hearing any opposition, the committee endorses the staff recommendation and we move on to the next item, which is draft fiscal year 2023 United Planning Work Program.
I'll handle that as well, Mr. Chairman. Again, Mark Wilkes, Core MPO. You will recall that the development of the fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program began with a call for plans and studies this past fall. We did receive a request from Chatham Area Transit for four planning studies. Those are rather large studies. They've been incorporated into the proposed fiscal year 2023 Unified Planning Work Program as illustrative projects while we search for funds to carry out those planning studies. Where we are today is that we are reviewing, the review of the draft work program with the core MPO advisory committees. Once approved by the core MPO board next week, we will release the draft work program for a 30-day review period with Federal Highway Administration and GDOT. Following that, we will follow up on any proposed revisions that, based on comments we receive, we'll bring the document back in revised form at the February meetings for final review and approval by the core MPO board and advisory committees. To give a brief synopsis, and this is a rather long document, almost 100 pages, but when faced with so many pages, I like to focus on, you know, where is the money going? The emphasis areas for the coming year will be the continuing to work on the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, the congestion management process update, the freight plan update, and the urban flooding model, which is a new emphasis area for the core MPO. There we go. I wish I could make this a little bit larger, but the budget overall is roughly the same. We're roughly level funding from 2022 to 2023. We are putting a little bit more money into Task 4, Systems Planning and Operations, taking that out of administration because the State Route 307 corridor study and the State Route 21 access management study, which were actively managed under the administration task this year, will be wrapping up in the next couple of months. And we will use the comparable amount of funding under systems planning and operations to work on the MTP update, to work on probably the urban flooding model and freight plan as well. So very similar funding picture. In addition, we're showing a new funding category for Task 6 special studies under the US 80 corridor study, $285,000 for the US 80 corridor study I mentioned earlier. One-time funding through COVID relief. I'm not going to try to decipher the full acronym. I can do it when I'm not at the podium, but I get a little tongue twisted. But it's COVID relief funding from the round that came after the CARES Act, basically, and doesn't require a local match. So it was a good chance. We thought. To get the US 80 corridor study funded without, you know, putting the squeeze just on one or two municipalities. And this way it can be more of a regional study. You know, again, it's a large document. We will be releasing it for review and comment after the middle of next week. You know, it's still under Scrivener revision. So if you do a deep dive, I'd encourage you to check back on the website and pick up the version that's current after the MPO board meeting next week. There probably will be one more round of review and edit on it by then. And beg your pardon?
Are you asking us to endorse it?
For review, right. It's an initial draft. It's a working document. So, but it starts the process for the federal review that we need to wrap up by next March in order to get the funding contracts in place for next year. So we have a timeline that we have about a month's wiggle room because we meet in February. We're going to try to adopt the final in February, which, you know, we always always think we kind of work backwards from deadlines in the MPO realm. You know, we know when something has to be in place, so then we have to work backwards, count the meetings and how many reviews and things that we have to have. So that required us to have the draft today, which we do. And the 30-day review period, which will go on during the month of January, will really tell us, you know, what the GDOT and the feds think of the document. That's probably where most of the changes will come in.
Thank you. We're going to vote on it in just a moment. Before we do so, I'd like to acknowledge that our member Attorney Averett has come in. We've gone through several, we approved the agenda, the minutes, and we've gone through two of the action items. Now we're doing the third. And you said the third, you just want us to approve as a draft, to endorse this as a draft. So with that in mind, anyone wants to make a motion to endorse this as a draft?
Anyone? Motion to endorse.
Second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Any discussion? You have any questions for him before we vote on it? Hearing no questions, we would like now to vote on it. Everyone in favor of this, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
No one opposed. You have a proof of what it's worth. Going forward, we've seen it, and we'll probably see it again as well. Thank you. Now, the next item is number four, December amendment for fiscal year 2021 through 2024 TIP. Someone reported that for us.
Alicia Hunter, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Okay, so our TIP is our short-range planning document that lists all our surface transportation projects that use federal, state, and local funding. And as projects change, we have to modify the TIP to reflect those changes. And so this staff report will outline the proposed updates. From August through September, the MPO conducted a call for projects for Z230 and CRISA funds. Several projects were awarded that funding, and that also requires an amendment. And in October and November, the MPO received several requests from GDOT and Chatham County proposing updates. There are four highway projects and two transit projects that include Chevis Road, Girard Avenue, Truman Linear, US 80 Corridor, and CATS fixed route diesel buses, as well as CATS bus stop improvement program. Okay, for I-95 at SR-21, Augusta Road Interchange, GDOT started the project development process, and they're requesting to add a scoping phase for fiscal year 22. For SR-26 from I-516 to CS-180 Victory Drive, GDOT requests to move the construction and utility phase from fiscal year 22 to fiscal year 23. With both of these phases receiving a slight increase in their cost estimates. From I-95 to 516, GDOT provided an update to their funding source and cost estimates to their construction phase in fiscal year 22. For I-516 at CS-1503 Duran Avenue, we got an update from GDOT for the funding source and cost estimate for the right-of-way phase in fiscal year 22. Chevis Road Improvement Project, Chatham County requested that the construction phase be moved from fiscal year 23 to the long-range fiscal year 25, and that the right-of-way phase be moved from fiscal year 22 to 23. And this project was also awarded some funds, Z230 funds for the right-of-way phase and CRISA funds for the PE phase. Girard Avenue was also awarded funding from the call for projects for Z230 in fiscal year 23 for the right-of-way phase and in fiscal year 24 for the construction phase. I-16 at SR 17, Chatham County requested that the right-of-way phase be moved from 23 to 24, and this request is subject to GDOT concurrence. And Truman Linear Park Phase 2B, this project was awarded CRISA funds for its construction phase in fiscal year 22. The US 80 corridor study was also awarded CRISA funds for its PE phase in fiscal year 22. And attached to this report are a few appendices, including updated TIP project pages, and also our public notice for review and comment. And something that we're doing new this time to encourage public comment is having the option to text in your comments. There, you'll also find a summarization of the call for projects, and the addendum for the 2045 MTP will be in the Appendix E. And so staff is recommending endorsement for the December TIP amendments. And take any questions if there are any.
Are there questions for her? When will we see this again? This is a draft form. Now, when will we see it again?
This is for endorsement of the draft, and that will become the final TIP amendments.
So it's getting ready to be finalized. It's being finalized now.
Yep, and it'll be presented to the core board on Wednesday, and they will do the official approval, and it'll be final.
And the action we take today will just let the core board know that we have seen it.
And endorsed it, yes.
Because we're not going to see it again.
No.
I understand.
Yep.
Any further questions for her? So what she wants us to is react to this, because it will be our last time seeing this, tell us that finalized. Do you have any questions for her? If no questions, we can then now get a motion to, I assume she wants us to endorse this. That we endorse or approve, give our approval of it. And is there a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded. Did we give our support for this? Now the question is, are we ready to vote? And the proper answer is probably yes, we are. So what we want to do now is to ask all those in favor to say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Not hearing any opposition, the motion carries. Now we bring this down to number five, 2022 safety performance management targets. Someone will speak to that, please.
I'll present on that as well, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Safety performance management is defined by FHWA as a strategic approach that uses system information to make investments and policy decisions to achieve performance goals. FHWA requires DOTs to set safety performance targets annually to measure and improve the transportation system performance. And in coordination with DOTs and transit operators, MPOs will track the performance measures and set targets for those measures. Projects are then prioritized based on those performances set by the targets. And MPOs will update their TIP and MTP to reflect the performance-based planning process, along with the development of a system performance report to document the progress. PBPP enables DOT, MPOs, and transit operators to efficiently allocate resources and maximize a return on investment. In order to achieve a desired performance outcome for the transportation system, while also increasing the accountability and transparency for the public. Safety performance measures, those are set by FHWA, and they are quantifiable indicators that are used to gauge performance or conditions, and safety performance targets are set by DOTs and MPOs. And these are targets that are quantifiable levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. There are five safety performance measures, number of fatalities, rate of fatalities, number of serious injuries, rate of serious injuries, and the number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. These are the updated state targets to maintain the five-year rolling average by 22. The serious injury and serious injury rate are impacted by recent updates to the state's crash report. So in a few years, the injury targets are going to move to a more appropriate measure based on the new definition. So for the whole process, state DOTs will set targets annually, and their progress is assessed by FHWA. The DOTs will share those targets with NPOs, and then NPOs can either adopt the targets, set their own, or do a combination of both. And then they'll have, NPOs will have until February 27th each year to adopt the performance safety targets. And the targets are not assessed annually for NPOs, but they are reviewed by FHWA as part of the ongoing transportation planning process review. In coordination with GDOT, the core NPO staff agrees to support the state adopted targets. So today we're asking members to accept and endorse these safety targets for the NPO planning and programming activities. And I'll take any questions.
Motion to endorse.
Second.
What was your question again? Yes, they are asking for us to endorse this.
Yeah, we motioned and seconded, Chairman.
Okay, it's been seconded. I'm sorry, I missed that. I apologize. Okay, any further discussion? Having got to the point of motion, so let's now vote on that. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 I hear no nays. Are there any nays? No, there not being any, the motion carries. That finishes the action item. We're down now to number three, which is status reports. Anyone want to say anything about that? Status reports from the staff?
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, my mistake. I was getting ready to introduce the State Route 21 Access Management Community Meeting, but I see we have that under other business.
But we're ahead of ourselves. Okay.
But ahead. Essentially, it is a largely a status report. But I don't believe we have any other status reports.
You have any agency reports for us? No agency reports? The question again is, are there agency reports?
Right, no, we don't okay. Have any agency reports
okay.
Tonight. No agency representatives here.
I understand. Thank you. Now, other business. Number six, would you someone speak to that, please?
We have Amy Turner on the meeting tonight. She's our consultant project manager for the State Route 21 Access Management Study. As we're approaching the end of the study, we are hosting a community meeting to inform the public of the preliminary findings of the study. And we thought it would be appropriate since the Citizens Advisory Committee was established in large part to disseminate information about the core MPO planning process that we could have this meeting in conjunction with your meeting. So we targeted the 6 o'clock hour since we felt like we would probably be through with the action agenda to let Amy present the findings of the study and conduct the community meeting. Before we segue to that, I just wanted to mention that there a number of items that are included under notices that are just for your information that you can take with you and, you know, read at your leisure. Those are just attached for information, but not something that we actively report on at the meeting. So if, do we have Amy already?
Yes, I'm on the call.
So, you know, if that's agreeable, then we'll go ahead and start the State Route 21 Access Management Study Community meeting here, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you. Someone's spoke. What did you say you wanted to do?
I believe that was Amy Turner, our consultant project manager.
Okay, so she's here. Okay. Well, please let us hear from her.
Thanks, everybody. I think, Mark, should we give it about 2 or 3 minutes? Because I know the official time is at 6 p.m. It's 5:57 right now. Just slightly. I mean, it's only 3 minutes, but I was just thinking if other people from the citizens wanted to join, they can join at, you know, within the next 2 or 3 minutes.
Do you want to go ahead and set up a screen share?
Yeah, I can do the screen share right now. Let me set that up.
Question. Do we need to adjourn this meeting temporarily for this public session full starts? Is that necessary? We adjourn our meeting.
Well, bring it back. The only other items are the information items that we don't have verbal reports on. So you could do that. That would probably be more efficient, I guess.
Anyway, yeah. Let's do that, okay? Everyone approve okay. That.
We just weren't sure when we put the agenda together if we would get through that quickly.
So our meeting is officially over, or will be over soon. So we're going to come back for our next meeting. When is our next meeting? February?
Yes, February 17th. Yep, in the new year.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to adjourn our meeting for now. If that's your, meet with your approval and hear this presentation. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, let's have a motion to adjourn the meeting. All those in favor?
Motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
So the meeting's adjourned. Now we're gonna hear this presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, we will have to make a motion to open to the public for the presentation.
Also, let's open this then.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion to open this meeting up for public to the public?
So moved.
A seconded?
Second.
All vote on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries. Now you may speak. It's over.
Yes. Thank you so much. Amy, we are ready for your presentation.
Perfect. I'm trying to share the screen. It says I need permission from the organizer. Okay, here we go. Can everyone see the screen?
We can, but you're not in presentation mode, Amy.
Okay, because it's showing mine. Let me see. I can fix that.
Amy, do you have more than one screen you're trying to present?
No, it should be one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me try it again. Oh, I need to resume slideshow. Okay. Is it in presentation mode?
It is not, Amy.
Interesting, because it shows in presentation on mine. Let me try. Here we go, resume slideshow. What about now? All righty. Sorry about that, everybody. It is, let me check the time. It is 6:02, and I definitely want to be respectful of everyone's time this afternoon. So first I want to say thank you for everyone who's logged in thus far for the public meeting for the State Route 21 Access Management Study. My name is Amy Turner. I am the Traffic Engineering Department Manager for Core Engineering, and I serve as the project manager for this study. Really quickly, to the goal of tonight's public meeting is to provide you all an update on where we are with the study. We have made it through the first phase of the study, and we're currently preparing recommendations for the corridor based on what we've collected during the existing conditions and needs assessment, as well as the first round of public engagement. I do want to make it perfectly clear to everyone that these are draft recommendations. Nothing has been finalized. Nothing has been set in motion for approval yet. So we want to come before you all first to get information from the public, as well as we have a survey that will go out as well so that we can gain as much public input so that we can go back, look at the recommendations, see where we can, you know, enhance them or make revisions or anything of that nature. So we really appreciate the time that you've taken today, because that truly helps inform us on the final recommendations for the study. Okay. Let's see. Oh, the screen froze again. As I mentioned, did the screen black out? Interesting.
Your screen is back, but you're back in, you're not in presentation mode, Amy.
Yeah, I don't know why. I apologize, everybody. Let's see. Okay. Okay, here we go. Hopefully it doesn't do that every time. So where we are with the study, the agenda here, we're going to go over the project, where we are thus far. It's freezing again. Let's see. Okay, here we go. So project overview, where we are in the study, a needs and opportunities recap. We looked at several different categories for the study, identifying what those immediate needs are along the corridor and opportunities that we have to make improvements. We'll briefly go over some of the survey results we heard during phase one, and then go over what some of the recommendations have been thus far coming out of the study. Then we'll have our Yeah.
Amy, sorry to interrupt you. I think you need to click your resume slideshow. We're still seeing your first screen.
Right. I'm going to exit out, and I think I'm just going to have to do it from this screen, because every time I click next, it freezes.
You're fine. That looks fine the way you are.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, I'll just do it this way. So, yeah, at the end, we'll have opportunity for open discussion and we'll discuss some of the next steps, provide the links to the survey and opportunities for you all to provide feedback that way. So what are the purpose and goals of the study? Why was the study needed? So this is an access management study. One of the reasons the study was initiated was the high crash rate along the corridor, which we'll speak a little bit more about later in the PowerPoint presentation. Also the crash severity along the corridor, the high number of pedestrian crashes, as well as the fatalities experienced along the corridor. It's a historically retail corridor, so there's several commercial driveways, each parcel having two to sometimes three driveways exiting. And what that happens is that it creates a lot of conflict points and introduces the potential for rear end crashes, angle crashes exiting the driveways. There's a lack of infrastructure for pedestrians, whether it be the existing sidewalks in their condition or deteriorating, or as you move north of Smith Avenue, there is a lack of pedestrian accommodations coupled with the number of lanes on State Route 21. It doesn't really have the an inviting feel for pedestrians and bicyclists who want to travel up and down State Route 21. Also, something that informed us or that helped is the construction of the new K-12 campus at the Groves High School site. So with that coming in at that location, we really want to put an emphasis on safety, understanding the operations along State Route 21 so that it can be a safer environment for all users. From those needs, we developed a list of seven goals, including promoting safety, reducing crash experience, improving bike and ped infrastructure, and overall just providing multimodal opportunities along the corridor. We've had conversations with transit service about adding additional bus stops along State Route 21, improving traffic operations, and promoting economic development and improving the quality of life for people traveling along State Route 21. So what is access management? Access management is a systematic strategy that seeks an appropriate, balance between safety and mobility along roadways with access needs of adjacent land uses. So the unique thing about State Route 21 is that it does parallel the port, but it also has a K-12 campus on the corridor. It's a lot of commercial driveways along the corridor. It significant freight traffic. So there truly must be a balance between safety and operations along the corridor, and that can be met with access management. We don't want one use of the corridor to suffer by trying to improve the other. So we wanted to make a focus and ensure that we are improving safety while also maintaining and improving operations for all that use the corridor. So here's a map to the right of State Route 21 and the study limit. So we're studying State Route 21 from State Route 25, just north of 516 to Grange Road. And some of the traffic controls in the area, there's a total of five signals along State Route 21, another coming online at Priscilla D. Thomas Way with the construction of the new K-12 campus here. Some other planned projects that directly impact traffic flow along the corridor is the Brampton Road Connector project that is, I think, in the bidding process right now that will get started in construction. And what this project will do, provide a connection over to Brampton Road, and it will close off this connection. So trucks coming to and from the port, they will use this connector to get over versus coming up State Route 21 and turning right onto Brampton Road. Let's see here. Project update. Here are just a few highlights of what we've done thus far with the study. Over the summer, we conducted a road safety audit with a number of people from GDOT, our project team, Bike Walk Savannah, as well as representatives from Chatham County, Core MPO. And this is a great opportunity for us to take a closer look at safety and operations along the corridor, looking at what are those multimodal needs along State Route 21? What does it feel like from the pedestrian's perspective walking up and down State Route 21? We completed the existing conditions and needs assessment, conducted the first round of public involvement on state, including a online survey, which we garnered a total of 61 responses. From there, we put together the needs and opportunities assessment and began working on the recommendations for the corridor. We kicked off the project in April of this year, and where we are now is in phase three, where we are preparing the recommendations for the corridor. From after this public meeting, we will collect information from the online survey. And from there, we will prepare all of this information, prepare the cost estimates for the recommendations of funding and implementation strategy, and deliver a final report to Garden City and the core MPO. Just some high-level looks at the needs along State Route 21. As I mentioned, the corridor crash rate along State Route 21 is approximately 25% higher than the statewide average for principal arterials. Particularly concerning is the number of pedestrian and bicyclist crashes that have happened in this concentrated area along State Route 21. Over the past 5 years, there's been a total of 13 pedestrian crashes and 2 bicyclist crashes within these within this section along State Route 21. What we noticed during our observations was that there was a lot of people either crossing from one side to the other at locations where there was not a designated crosswalk, or they were waiting for a crosswalk or waiting for their interval at the signals, and then either there were near misses with right turns or some other incident where it reduced the safety for pedestrians at the intersection. In terms of operations, we heard a lot about people complaining about the railroad crash, the crossing near Brampton Road, particularly the switching of the rail cars going into the port. And something that we heard a lot was that during peak periods, the traffic would come to a complete standstill. The amount of freight along the corridor made it less appealing for pedestrians and bicyclists to travel along it, given that there was a lack of buffer between them and the travel way. Something else we found during the traffic operations analysis was that there was less than desirable levels of service for vehicles leaving the unsignalized intersections at the side roads along State Route 21. And that was due to a lot of them having to clear 3 lanes of travel before getting into the center two-way turn lane to continue either north or south along State Route 21. Multimodal facilities, as I mentioned, either there was a lack of ADA compliant features at the crosswalks and the sidewalks, or they were in deteriorating conditions. There was a lot of feedback during the first round of public engagement that users wanted more opportunities to travel along the corridor without having to use a vehicle more safely. Here we go, streetscaping. We heard a lot about wanting to make the corridor more appealing. Currently, right now, when people talked about the weaknesses along the corridor or opportunities, they really felt like this section of State Route 21 was just for people to drive through. It wasn't really inviting, and people didn't really see it as a destination. So we saw it as an opportunity to really make this section of State Route 21 a somewhat of a gateway into Garden City, improving the streetscaping, improving pedestrian scale lighting so that it can be more inviting and getting people out of their cars and patronizing the area. In terms of economic development, we heard a lot about the lack of grocery store options, limited commercial and restaurant options. A lot of fast food restaurant options were that all that were available on the corridor. There are a lot of older shopping centers, single land use parcels, and a lot of people mentioned that they wanted more opportunities for redevelopment, supporting the vitality of local businesses, and improving the options in terms of retail, restaurants, and grocery stores in the area. In terms of access management, as I mentioned before, there are several driveways along the corridor, many of which that for some parcels, they had 2 to 3 driveways. There were a few instances where some parcels had a continuous driveway along the whole frontage of their parcel. And the thing about the high density of access points per mile is that it significantly increases the likelihood of rear end angle crashes for people exiting driveways. So access management was something we really wanted to focus on in terms of improving safety along the corridor. Some of the results from the first round of the surveys for the corridor, most of the transportation, by and large, the majority of the survey respondents drove along the corridor frequently 5 times or more during the week. Seldom people used it for a transit or biking, and there was roughly about 11% of the respondents saying that they walk along the corridor at least once a week. Needs along the corridor, in terms of prioritizing needs that they felt was needed along the corridor, the top was reducing congestion, followed by improving traffic signal, reducing crash frequency, improving pavement striping, as well as in improving pedestrian facilities, were the top safety and mobility needs. A lot of people strongly agreed that were needed along State Route 21. And then we had open-ended comments about what they saw as some of the challenges and concerns along State Route 21. And the top two was traffic congestion and the trains during rush hour. So what the thumbs up comment boxes represent is that there were multiple people either saying something similar or agreeing with the same types of comments in their open-ended questions. So as you can see here, there was a lot of comments about the visual appeal of the corridor, lack of restaurants, lack of pedestrian crossings, as well as alternative streets and tie-ins and opportunities to give more natural elements to the corridor. The second question we asked open-ended was potential opportunities for improvements along State Route 21. And the top one was improving the train and traffic coordination during peak hours, followed by beautification and streetscaping improvements. There are a lot of comments that people left saying that they saw with the construction of the new K-12 campus and the new community facilities as an opportunity to improve streetscaping along the corridor so that we can connect people from the local residential areas fronting state or behind State Route 21 to easily access these new facilities that are currently either under design or being constructed. So, draft recommendations. So some of the key safety improvements we looked at, we wanted to take a data-driven approach at what makes the most sense in terms of improving safety along the corridor. As you can see here, there are a couple of improvements that we identify, as well as some of the benefits of each. So traffic calming, raised median segments along certain sections of State Route 21. We saw that these types of improvements can significantly reduce crashes along the corridor, as well as the severity of crashes along the corridor. And also with the installation of raised medians, it provides the opportunity for additional pedestrian refuge. As they are crossing the roadway, they can safely wait in the median if they need to, so that they can safely cross the second leg of the corridor. Operational improvements, looking at alternative traffic controls at intersections, making signal improvements at the signalized intersections along the corridor in terms of improving traffic flow, going in, ensuring that the signals are coordinated, as well as freight signal priorities. So currently GDOT is working on a project, a pilot project for freight signal priority along 307, as well as a number of other corridors with heavy freight traffic throughout the state. And we've had conversations with them about, you know, what that looks like, or how can we include State Route 21, because it does also parallel to port into that program. So with improvements at these signals, we want to ensure that that technology is a part of those improvements. Retroreflective backplates, this helps with the visibility of the traffic signals, which improves safety, especially during later times of the day, at night. It can result in a varying amount of improvements. As you can see to the side, the percent reductions in crashes based on these types of improvements. Okay, multimodal improvements. So we wanted to have continuous walkways and multi-use paths, including if we were to ensure that it's a complete street, we wanted to ensure that the facilities are up to standards and easily accessed for all road users. At the existing transit stops, improving transit shelters in coordination with CATS, as well as identifying locations for new stops along the corridor. And also improvements to the bike infrastructure can show significant improvements in safety for bike and pedestrians. Streetscaping improvements we looked at was the inclusion of pedestrian scale lighting, wayfinding signage, the opportunities for gateway signage into Garden City, also public art projects, street furniture. All of these things can really help with improving the visual appeal of the corridor and making it more walkable for the citizens. So intersection specific recommendations, we identified those key intersections where we either saw the need to improve the signal equipment and signal timing upgrades, or where turn lanes can be improved, as well as those unsignalized intersections where alternative traffic control can be implemented as well. For the railroad crossing, we looked into different opportunities for the installation of crossing gates, ITS technologies to notify motorists of train wait times, and then also ensuring that we coordinate with GDOT in regards to the freight program that they're currently working on. And then something worth mentioning, as we've had the Georgia Port Authority on our project advisory group, and they are currently working on a number of projects on the port, one of which being the Mason Mega Rail project. And with that project, they are constructing a significant amount of new rail lines on the port's site. And from the conversations that we've had is that with this new space with the rail lines, it'll reduce the switching at the railroad crossing. So GPA, they are already making steps to improve train flow into and out of the port. School zone improvements, working with GDOT and the Savannah Chatham County Public Schools on improving the school zone in terms of advanced warning signs, pavement markings, the speed limit warning signs, and different things like that for the school zone at the new K through 12 site. And also transit expansion. We identified a few stops. These are only ideas based on where we see a lot of potential transit users or pedestrian needs. So these are all tentative that we wanted to share with you all to gain feedback about where you see the most use of additional transit stops along State Route 21. For the overall corridor, let me see, sorry, my computer is slowing up again. The overall corridor recommendations included the signal timing upgrades, as I had mentioned, also the installation of the raised median segments along the corridor, continuous sidewalks and multi-use paths for the priority segment that was between Minus and Smith Avenue, primarily because of the existing pedestrian traffic that we observed. We saw it beneficial to have multi-use paths along both sides of the corridor. And one of the benefits or one of the unique benefits that we have on State Route 21 is that there is enough right-of-way to make these improvements for multimodal accommodations within right-of-way without having to make any new acquisitions. So where we saw that we could make the sidewalks into multi-use paths, we identified those locations. North of Smith Avenue, we recommended that the multi-use path continue on the eastern side up to Grange Road, and then also south of Minus Avenue to continue on the west side of the road here so that people in these residential communities can access the path on the roadway. Additionally, pedestrian scale lighting and streetscaping, identifying opportunities for transit, additional transit stops along State Route 21, and gateway and wayfinding signage programs, creative placemaking, public art, different things like that. So as I mentioned, these are the proposed typical sections for the corridor, the raised median segments along certain sections where it does not exist currently, the streetscaping, the wider multi-use paths along the corridor, as well as improving the existing transit stops with transit shelters and pedestrian scale lighting. In terms of the typical section, we are considering different alternatives for what the median, the raised medians and the buffers look like. The first, of course, is the landscape median, both in the median as well as the buffer between the travel lanes and the multi-use paths. The second option that we're looking at is the stamped concrete. So this would be for the raised median and the buffers as well as an alternative. Let's see. So we just wanted to give you all an opportunity to visualize what this could look like along the corridor. This is an existing street shot of State Route 21 just south of Facility Thomas Way, if you're familiar with where the McDonald's is. And with the draft of the recommendations that we have, this is what it could look like with those enhancements, including the multi-use path. Oh, there you go. the multi-use path, streetscaping, the raised median segments, and different elements to really make it a true complete street with access and accommodations for all road users. So corridor recommendation benefits. When we take a look back at the study goals that we mentioned earlier, we compare that against what those recommendations were so far for the study. And a lot of them align with what those study goals are, including reducing turning movement conflicts along the corridor, reducing the likelihood and severity of crashes along the corridor, identifying opportunities to improve traffic operations and reducing queuing at intersections, and overall enhancing multimodal options and providing connectivity and access to the destinations in the area. So what does this mean in dollars? We included this slide to highlight the benefits of access management, as is the based on the total number of crashes along State Route 21 over the past 5 years. The average cost per year has been roughly $4.8 million based on the severity of the crashes, whether they be damage only or if they were injuries or fatalities. And when you look at the reduction in crashes based on the potential improvements along the corridor, savings of can be realized of about $1.7 million per year for the reduction in crash costs. When you look at travel time, the improvements associated with access management can reduce delay for motorists approximately 30%. And when you look at that compared to what's existing along the corridor, that can be realized in about 14 hours of lost time savings per year per road user, or $300 in fuel savings per year per road user. So with these improvements, there's of course some intrinsic benefits in the walkability of the corridor, the visual appeal of State Route 21, but there's also a lot of safety and operational benefits that can be realized for the average road user along the corridor as well. So that concludes the high level view of where we are with the study. So we wanted to leave some time for an open discussion for anyone on the call if they have any questions or they want me to circle back to any of the slides.
My name is Brantley. I'm the chairman of the committee that you're speaking to. My groups have left already, but I have two questions. One is, this is a lot to take it at one time. So give some meaningful feedback. We need more to think about that. So when is to give some time frame or when you need this information to help you with your study?
Yes. So we have.
Also, my second point is that your goals are somewhat nebulous, not nebulous, but I would say that since you talk about management, I'm wondering if you actually have quantified, or it's part of your goal to quantify how a change situation would be, how it would affect, you know, if you were to make these changes, goes one after as opposed to another, how many lives will save and how many, you know, accident will prevent. You talk about fuel loss and that kind of thing, consumption, but I'm thinking that there are other ways you can measure this sort of thing, the impact.
Yes.
Of improvement, if you say, let's do this, if you did that, what would it mean in terms of lives saved, time, you know, elimination of time getting to one place or another? Anyway, first, when do you want us to respond? When do you need this information, comments, opinions? What's the deadline?
Yes, first for that question, we have a open survey link. So the presentation slides will be on the project webpage for you to view. We can also share them as well. On the last slide of this, I'll have my email. There's also an online survey highlighting the draft of the recommendations. And in that survey, you'll be able to answer questions, provide open-ended feedback about each of the recommendations. So that is open right now. It's going to close towards the end of the year. I think the week of Christmas is when we're planning to close the survey. But we have the slide here with the survey link, and I can drop it in the chat as well. And then for the second question, as far as quantifying benefits, we did take a look at the safety improvements. So that's what this first section was about. So over the past 5 years, this was the average cost in terms of crashes. And what this is based on is the National Safety County Council's estimates for what the average cost is for a property damage only crash, non-incapacitating injury crash, a capacitated injury crash, fatal crashes. And based on those numbers that we saw for the crash data for State Route 21, we were able to calculate what that total crash, the estimated value of the total crashes along the corridor. And so based on those reductions that can be realized with the improvements, that's what we listed as the potential reduction in crash costs. So that's where we are now. In the actual final report, we'll also highlight.
To that, something about lives saved.
Yes.
I'm going to say, well, okay, you have fewer cars crash. What? You know, so well, if these things were implemented, you know, as opposed to having 20 people die in a year, we may have only bring it down to 6. I mean, there's one in some sort of fuel loss and cost like that, but there are other ways of measuring costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll look into other metrics. We can't necessarily say so there what the reduction will be in fatalities, but we'll take a closer look and then we can provide the information as well.
Thank you very much. What we're going to do, my group has left already, but what we want, we appreciate your information. And we will be getting back in touch with you. With the staff here will tell us how to get in touch with you to respond to questions and you have our concerns as well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question.
Amy,
questions for her?
The slide with your contact and the survey link was never shown. Could you go to that now?
Yes. So yeah, we can still do the open discussion. So this is the where we are in the study. So the next steps are the cost estimations for the recommendations, prioritizing projects, putting together the funding implementation strategy and the final report. The second online survey is now open. So I'm going to drop this in the chat right now, as well as the study webpage. And then on this last slide here, this is my contact information. So if there's anything in particular that you have a question about or you want any additional information or a copy of the slides, I can share that as well. Are there any other questions from the audience?
Amy?
Yes.
Hey, Don Bethune, I appreciate you putting this together. It's a very challenging project with all the different moving pieces of this, but I know this is in the very beginning stage, but is this like a 5-year project, a 10-year project? I know a lot of things have to fall in place as far as the final plan, the funding, and actually constructing it, but do you have a thought on how long this is away from us?
Well, where we are now with the study, our goal is to wrap it up in January. So we'll probably close or we'll wrap up the final report in January, given revisions. And we also want to do a presentation to you all, the city council, as well as the NPO board. So we're saying we'll probably finalize the report report and everything with the presentations in February. At that point, we'll be able to, you know, go after funding, look into, and maybe Mark can speak a little bit more about looking into putting it into the local TIP for funding, and then exploring other opportunities. So once that goes into the process, you'll go through the PE for the project, looking to do the design, construction. So the actual, depending on how much momentum is behind the project and how this funding is secured, we can see it being within the next 5 years of being able to put shovels in the ground, I would think. Mark, do you have any other thoughts on that?
Mark was far away from the microphone when you asked that. not really. I mean, a 5-year window is doable, you know, if the pieces fall into place,
right,
with the new transportation legislation. You know, I'm sure there will be some new funding opportunities, you know, that we're not yet familiar with. So, you know, it really depends on how aggressively we go after it and how much support the alternatives garner.
Thank you so much. I could see this being a very big enhancement to Garden City, so I'm excited about what I'm seeing so far.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I agree, you know, it's as you mentioned, there are several challenges on the corridor, given the competing needs for, you know, the pedestrians, the school, the freight along the corridor, the local citizens and people using it as a commuter route. There was a lot to be considered, but, you know, there's a lot of advantages for the corridor. We really see it as being a gateway into Garden City. And and then also I wanted to mention, just from the responses we've heard back from the first round of public engagement, there's a lot of positive momentum around anything being done. You know, everybody was just happy that we were looking at the corridor. And there was a lot of, even if there was some comments that was constructive criticism, everybody was just happy that something was being done. So I think, you know, whatever the final recommendations are, there'll be a good amount of support. And I really think this is something the city can get behind confidently that everybody wants to happen.
Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Okay, if not, I'm gonna also drop my email address in the chat box for easier copy and paste if needed. Well, that's all we have for tonight. As I mentioned, thank you all for attending. We have the survey links and everything in the chat box. We'll also be on the webpage, and we ask all of the media outlets to share again. If you do fill out the survey, please share it with everyone you know. The more feedback we get, the better. We welcome all feedback about the recommendations, because we truly want it to be a study that is inclusive of all members of the community. So with that,
one final question. Mm-hmm. Is there any way we can get a copy of the presentation where we could put it on Garden City's website or some of our Facebook pages?
Yes. Denise had to drop off the call because she had another conflicting event, but I will shoot her an email and then she'll share it with you all as well for posting.
Okay.
As well as the survey link, yes.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's all I have, Mark, I'm not sure if there's some other closing we have to do for the, well, the CAC meeting is over, correct?
Right, they adjourned. And I know I have at least an earlier version of this, but you know, if you just make sure Denise sends us the version used tonight, we'll also put that on our website if it's not already.
Okay.
And with that, I just want to thank everyone for their time tonight. We're very happy to have been able to conduct this study with in cooperation with Garden City and Georgia DOT, and you know, we look forward to wrapping it up and pursuing actual projects. And I'm getting hand signals.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great evening.
Good night, everybody.